to Removing the Cape, the place where perfectionists remove our superhero capes and discuss what it's like to wear our various titles, hats, and masks. We can pick them up at the end of the show, but for now, let's all relax. Time to get into the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I am your host, Ty. Thank you for joining me here in our special place where we talk about anything, everything, and sometimes nothing. If this is your first time joining me, welcome to our family. I affectionately refer to the listeners as superheroes. No matter what kind of life we lead, we all play a superhero in some capacity. To my returning superheroes, thank you for being here, holding me down, coming back. So if you spent any time on social media in the past 2 weeks, I am sure you have seen the debate about these lists, okay? So if you haven't, let me introduce them to you. And if you have, we're going to chat about them for a little bit. So one of the ones that has been making the rounds and getting, you know, a lot of conversation surrounding it, it's the list where it says the places women refuse to go on the first date. Now, you know, some of these, I looked at it and I was like, what's wrong with these? But then there are some that I agree with. Now, remember, this is first date, not on any date, first date. Now, first of all, one of the items on there is your house. Absolutely. I'm not going to your house on a first date. Who are you? You're going to turn me into a Lifetime movie. No. We're not doing that. We are not doing your house on a first date. Ain't no Netflix and chilling. Ain't no, you know, I'll come to the house. I'll cook for you. No, sir. Because let me tell you, when I was dating anyway, my friends already had, okay, this is who I'm going on a date with. This is his name. This is what kind of car he drive. This, you know, where he lives or works or whatever, because if something happens to me, I need them to know how to properly report the information. If I'm putting myself at risk by going to your house the first date, no, that's real, real, that's risky, okay? But back to another one that could end up as a Lifetime movie, somewhere that requires a long drive. Now, if we're in a long drive together or even separately, why are you taking me somewhere off in the woods, an hour and a half away? That's real destitute. That's suspicious. No, thank you. No, thank you. Now, those are ones on the list I looked at and I agreed with. But the rest of these, I don't see a problem with them. Now, we can't go to, you know, any chain restaurant or anything like that. The list says specific places like Cheesecake Factory. Y'all tripping. Now, let me tell you, Cheesecake Factory does have a menu that is 147 pages long. I agree. That is very frustrating on a first date to thumb through a menu that is 147 pages. The flip side of that is anybody can find something to eat at the Cheesecake Factory. And you can get your little slice of the dulce de leche cheesecake, my personal favorite. Now, is that a place I currently love going to? No. Right along with Applebee's and Chili's. I don't like those places anymore. I prefer not to go to those anymore. A buffet is also listed here. I am not a fan of buffets. No thank you. Gives me the creeps. No. The small germaphobe that lives in me is disgusted. No thank you. But that's just me. I'm not a fan. It's just the list has 28 places and options on there. And I just think, well, where y'all want to go? On a first date, like, is it supposed to be 2 first class tickets to an international trip? I'm confused. I'm confused. First date, he probably don't even know your middle name. And we're supposed to be spending a whole paycheck? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that a mortgage, you know, should be spent on a meal on the first date. No. On the one hand, I'm not saying that, you do nothing, but I think first dates are great times for, are you even worth me continuing to communicate with? And I would be upset if I spent a whole lot of money, time, effort on a first date and was like, in the first 10 minutes, I realized you're not worth this. And I didn't spend all of this. Yeah, so now I've wasted the outfit, money, makeup. Now I'm just going to be in a bad mood. So, no, I need a quick escape on the first date. Okay, so that's one of the lists that's been going around. And y'all, this thing actually made news, like local newscasts were even talking about this list. Since when they cover this kind of social media foolery? Stay out of our business, real news, real journalists. Leave us alone. Let us be foolish on social media and y'all talk about real stuff. But that's another conversation for another day, because sometimes they just be in the foolery anyway. Okay, listen, back to what we talking about. So then a facetious response list came out, right? Where men wrote out all the characteristics that make a woman undateable. And looking at this list, I said, now, thank God I'm married, because according to some of these people on this list, I am undateable. Okay, I have tattoos, multiple. One of the things said you had to have a present father. Well, daddy issues. Hello. Hey, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Therapy and Jesus have done a lot. Okay. And it said living alone. Well, yeah, had my own place. So it said all of those things made you undateable. Now, and it was a much longer list. I believe it was made just to show how ridiculous the first list was, but it was funny. I believe the purpose of the list was to take a jab at every single woman that they possibly could, which is fine. I believe both sides can take a hit when it's stuff like this, because it ain't that deep. At least not in my world, anyway. Okay. So, as all these lists are going on, I had a question. Who made these up? And where'd they come from, y'all? Now, are there places and restaurants that are listed that I no longer patronize? For sure. I just told y'all how I can't stand buffets. Like, I can't stand it. If I'm invited to an event and it's a buffet, my husband and I have to have conversations about it beforehand, and like I have to mentally prepare myself because I hate buffets. And this is even pre-COVID, y'all. I'm not a fan of buffets. Now, that's not saying that I've never eaten at a buffet, because growing up, going to a buffet was a regular occasion for celebrations or special events. Yeah, you go to the buffet, everybody gets to eat for sure. That was a regular thing. Eating at Applebee's and Chili's, hello, college days. We did that all the time. You gonna be fancy? Yeah, we going to Applebee's, Chili's, Red Lobster. We going to the places. But that has become my preference right now. That's just all it is. It's a preference. And I think when we look at these lists and just in relationships in general, we have so many preferences that we try to make principles. We try to make them principles that everyone should follow. And if they're not following them, then all of a sudden they're a horrible person. They're, misogynistic, or they hate men, or just both sides of the gamut. We make it so extreme of why this will or won't work. And it's just simply a preference. And you have people that are on the far end of that preference. Like I know there are things that my friends and I, when it comes to dating and relationships, don't share the same viewpoint on. While on the surface, we probably have a lot of similarities, but I know there are things that I prefer that they don't, and vice versa. And that's okay. Those are preferences, not principles. We get those two confused. Like for some people, like for me, religion, being a Christian, a believer, was a principle for me that I just couldn't waver on. Like I needed someone who, you know, was a believer, and that's where their faith was. That was my principle and my preference that I needed for my life. But I'm not saying that anyone else that doesn't marry a Christian has a horrible marriage. No, because I don't know about y'all, but I know plenty of Christians with jacked up marriages. That's not this episode, though. We'll talk about that later. The Christians be messy, y'all. Okay, don't let them talk to y'all crazy. They be real messy. We got our own jacked up stuff. Okay, okay. Focus, Ty. Get back to back to the list. But again, there are preferences, not principle. I had a preference of, thank God, a certain height. I can't believe I just said that out loud because people are probably going to be like, oh my gosh, why would you say that? Well, it's just a preference. I'm sorry. It's just a preference. And on the other side, there are probably people that say, hey, I have a preference or certain complexion or whatever it may be that I don't fit. That's okay. Let people have their preferences. But when we try to make them a rule that everyone has to follow and judge people based on that, we're going down the wrong road. Wrong road, wrong road. If you know, you know. Y'all know who said that? Shout out Portia. Okay. All right. So it's so many things out there telling us like where we should be getting our direction from when it comes to finding our person. And you have to have your own discernment when it comes to connecting with people in your life. And this isn't just for your significant other, but for friends as well, or people you do business with. Have your own thought pattern where you're not just letting other people tell you what's right and wrong. Because what works very well for someone else's life may not work for yours. I have seen it too many times where we have friends that are happily married or happily single, and whatever works in their life, I'm like, ooh, that could not work over here. But they are very happy in their life. And I love that for them. I love that for them. But you got to have your own discernment. And you can't be led by others and let other people tell you in this list telling you where you can't go on a first date. Because let me tell y'all something. My husband and I, on our first date, we were at PF Chang's. Okay? Had a grand old time. It was great. And according to this list, while PF Chang's wasn't specifically named, I think any kind of chain restaurant is off the table. Okay, but it worked out very well for my husband and I. So I'll take it. I will take it. It was great. Not one problem at all. Okay. You can't let other people try to give you their vision because it doesn't work like that. Have y'all ever picked up somebody else's glasses that has a stronger prescription than what you need? Or even just a different prescription, or you don't wear glasses at all and you put them on and boy, for a second, you felt like Ray Charles. That's how it is sometimes, trying to take on the ideas and preferences of another person. For them, it works perfectly and they see the world exactly how it's supposed to be seen. And you're trying to put their glasses on, trying to force yourself to see, and it hurt. It is uncomfortable, but you're trying to force your way through it, but it doesn't sit right. So now you feel like, well, something's got to be wrong with me because these glasses work perfectly for that person. It's meant for them. It's meant for them. It's meant for them. It's okay to have our own preferences. And both of you might wear glasses, but you don't have the prescription they have. Okay. So don't take on somebody else's vision. And sometimes we even do that with our desires. where we have to understand where our desires came from, because do we even really know our real desires, or all those things that we have been taught by entertainment, taught by Disney as children, by music, or even our own families? There's this book, I can't remember if I mentioned it on the podcast before, but my therapist introduced it to me several years ago. And it's a book called Silent Agreements. And I recommend it to all of you. But one of the key points in the book is talking about just all those things that we desire or assume about life or want that we never made a conscious decision about, but they were subconscious ideas implanted in us as children based on what we saw that we either wanted to replicate or that we saw and wanted to do the complete opposite of. So sometimes we have to dig a little deeper and figure out, like, man, do I even really want that? Or do I want it because I've had my family tell me for years that, man, you're going to be a great lawyer. You're going to be a great doctor one day. And you just always, yep, I'm going to be a doctor. Yep, I'm going to be a lawyer. That's what I'm going to be. That's what I'm going to be. But you hate everything about your job. Everything about your job. You're actually more interested in the arts. You actually want to be a teacher. But because your family influence or everyone in your family is a doctor, so now you got to go into medicine. But you don't want to do that. You want to go into fashion. Where do those desires come from? And what would you be doing if no one judged you? What would you want to do? Personal story. I originally, from a child, always wanted to, I'm going to be a lawyer. I get to college. I'm at FSU studying political science because, yeah, I'm going to go to law school. While I am in college, I get a job working for the state of Florida. And while I was there, my task included things related to event planning and marketing. When I tell you I fell in love with that, I was also doing event planning and marketing in my campus clubs. The activities I was involved in on campus, I always found myself somewhere on a marketing committee or, you know, communications in some aspect. And I had been doing that so much in my quote unquote free time that I saw it as just more of a kind of hobby, but my heart was leading me to that. But I was studying law, I was studying politics. And it was as I was working that job that I realized, man, this is something people do. I remember us working with a vendor who did event planning, and I was like, wait, this is an entire career that I love that people can do. And I'm just going after being a lawyer because the 7-year-old me said this is what I was going to do. But I don't know about you. I'm not going to let a 7-year-old dictate my life. Not that you can't have real desires that you and passions that you want from, you know, being a child, but a 7-year-old doesn't know what a lawyer is. Not the true weight of it, but so much of me was leading to communications and marketing and events, just that other side of hospitality that I didn't know existed. And fast forward all these years later, my career has been filled with marketing and events, and I'm grateful for it. I love it. Have I tapped into the law arena a bit? I have. Absolutely have. And I'm grateful I didn't do it. I'm grateful I didn't go that route. I'm grateful that I was introduced to the other side of life hasn't always been easy, but I'm grateful for where I am. And I encourage you to take some time and listen to the voices that are pushing you and figure out if they are yours or not. Sometimes we are pushed by our families that were well-intentioned, but they're not your desires. They're not your voices. We're pushed by the child versions of ourselves, which cause pressure. But I encourage you to figure out where all these voices are coming from that create these internal lists that we have for our lives and these expectations, and figure out which one should be leading you. Which one should you be listening to? Which one should be guiding you? And are there any that you need to silence? And if you do, that's okay. I encourage it. I support that. Change course where you need to. And tell some of them voices to shut up. They don't run you. Okay, that's it, y'all. I love y'all. Thanks for sticking with me. I hope that, you know, this conversation about lists wasn't the typical one that you've been seeing on social media lately, but something that actually made you think and actually encouraged you a little bit, and just something to make you smile. Thank you so much for being here with me. See you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the show and tune in again next week. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Share with a friend or family member and follow us on social media at Removing the Cape. Check out our website at www.removingthecape.com. Whatever superhero cape you have to pick up and wear today, I hope it's a bit lighter and your smile's a little brighter. See you next week.